the Oakdale Christian Centre podcast.
God's Word teaches that we're in a spiritual battle. In this recording, Dave looks into who are we fighting? The main reading is Luke chapter 4.
We mentioned last week about we are in a battle, in a war, and I thought we'd just realise who we're fighting. It's always good to know who we're fighting. And we need to know our enemy. It was the Second World War, and Field Marshal Lord Montgomery, knowing well, was assigned to lead the North African campaign of the Allies against the Germans in World War II. His main subject of study, not the terrain or what the enemy had, but the character and the background and the outlook of his opposite number, General Rommel, the Desert Fox, they called him. He realised how important it was in any battle to know your enemy. In fact, he did have some great victories there in Alamein. Drove him out, and the Italians, almost causing trouble, and Libya, Tunisia, all around that north coast. So his idea was to know your enemy. And the Bible is very clear. To know him, to know his tricks, know his character, know how he goes around, trying to trip us up, and his foils and his ways, very important. And I suppose today we'll just look at that and maybe look at his names. Names, as we know in the Bible, always show nature, show what he is. That's why we look at God's names, because when we look at God's names, we see different shades of his character, wonderful things. And we exactly the same with the enemy. How many names? Well, depends how you count them. Certainly over 40 names for the enemy. And we'll see some of the names today and see where he's from and what he's up to. Let's read right our first mention of him. Meeting humans. Obviously, Genesis 3. Let's read that. Genesis 3, 1 to 10.
Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil."
The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. And she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too. That moment their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed thick leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked."
Well, again, his tactics, we'll see no more. There's a word later on about how the schemes of the devil and his methods, which sort of gives us an idea. There's an order that he uses, and here again, straight away he's pinpointing the woman. Man doesn't come alongside. That's why fellowship is so important. Isn't it? Left on your own, you will always picked off. The enemy knows what he's doing, and when people say, "Oh, I know," and they drift. When you see people drifting away from fellowship, you're in trouble, because the man should have intervened, but he didn't. And again, the first thing he wanted to know is, how much does she know God's word? See, he was just, what's this about now? He said, And although she knew, but she didn't know it fully, because she was overestimating, not actually fully knowing the consequences of the actions. And you can read those yourself. But straight away we see he's a serpent. He brings doubt, and then he denies. And then he attacks the character of God. And it's amazing when some of us have been walking as Christians for many, many years, and still, even now, the devil can come and whisper, "Well, Dave, God ain't very good to you, is he? Look at that answer to prayer you haven't had there, or look at that issue there. And he'll try and destroy or underestimate or undercurrent God's character, who he is. And then, of course, what that has to do with that, and then we soon, straight away, I'm looking at me, what I want. What did the Bible say? She looked at it and said, oh, look at that. That's good. Oh, I want that. And so he's a servant. He's sly, he's sneaky, but the bite, the venom that he has. And his tactics do not change. We must be not unaware, as the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 2, 10 and 11.
Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything not to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes.
There we are. Of course, the context, again, always look at the context, but of course his schemes are varied, and much was forgiveness there, wouldn't it? Because obviously there were issues in the church, they had to deal with them, and they said, right, if there was grave sin, he said, look, if they will not repent, kick them out. Let the devil deal with them. But if they're coming back and they repented, forgive them. Bring them back in, he said. And he said, now, remember, the enemy will take advantage of us. Overreach, of course, we'll allow him to overreach. And we're not ignorant. He said, we're not ignorant of his schemes, his thoughts, his purposes, his devices. We're not unaware. We shouldn't be ignorant. Again, this particular point, which again is massive, isn't it, in people's lives, the more we see relationships breaking down and family life, unforgiveness is such a root of all issues, and of course that will affect how we see things, how we relate to others, how we see God sometimes. Unforgiveness. And so we are not unaware. Don't be ignorant. Recognize the enemy. And remember, he's sly, he's sneaky, he will not sometimes come to you straight away, will he? If he comes to you and says, oh, look at this, dear, do this. You say, you've got to be so soft. But he'll come and say, well, oh, that's not too bad, Dave. Veer off by there. Now remember, we're in a war. You would not, in normal warfare, you would not go into the enemy's camp willy-nilly, would you? No. You say, oh yeah, we'll just trot down to the enemy's camp. No, you don't. How naive we are. We open ourselves up to the enemy. People so often say, well, I can go there, I can do this and that. No, whoa. Unless the Lord has told you to do certain things, to go certain places, stay away from there. Because I always remember it was the old Methodist guy Johnny Herbert, he played a bit of rugby as well. And one boy came to me, he was a school teacher, and he said to him, Mr. Herbert, he said, every time I go there, I fall, he said, I sin. Well, don't go there, boy. Good advice. Don't go there. it's simple advice, isn't it? But of course, we think, you know, we are on the victory side, but do not underestimate. Now, of course, we don't get obsessed with anything. Some people get obsessed. The devil's here, the devil's there. Well, let me say, most times the devil don't have to do much for me. He'll just speak to my flesh or allow me to have my way. And he'll say, Dave, you should have to do that. Oh, yes, I'm too. It's my. So there, we're not unaware. Let's not be ignorant. Let's see the enemy's work all around us. Now, what is he? Let's look at one of his names. Matthew 12. 22:28.
Then they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him, so that he could both talk and see. All the people were astonished and said, could this be the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, it is only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So then, they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you.
So we have the name there, when it Beelzebub, depends how you, the interpretation, the translation. Beelzebub, again, you see, nothing new under the sun. You can find out if you dig deep enough, one of the gods of the Philistines. Lord of the flies, Lord of dung. What does that mean? He loves to corrupt, to counterfeit, and to change everything. Everything that God has given for our good, he takes and he corrupts. And we can see it, can't we? We can see all the good gifts God's given us, and he twists it, he distorts it, he just corrupts everything. Something that is beautiful and pure that the Lord gives us, he sex is one thing, isn't it? And then he twists it and distorts it. Marriage, family, all the things that God designed. Even the planet, if you like, he says, you run it. Well, we've done a good job with that, haven't we? Not so much. So we see how he is the Lord of the dung, the Lord of the flesh. He corrupts everything, and we can see through history how he does that. And it's amazing how he, remember, he's in it for the long haul, isn't he? You think, now, some of us have been alive for a long time, and you can go back 30, 40 years, and what we accept today, and in fact promote, 40 years ago, we would have said, don't be so soft. You would have gone in, you would have gone in the street and said, what do you think of this lifestyle? What do you think of this? And majority of person would have said, don't be so, it's unnatural, it's wrong, or it's this and that. Today, if you said that, you would be called this, that, and the other, wouldn't you? And it's amazing how he takes society, and it doesn't, one generation quickly changes. And that's why when we have revival, sometimes instead of sitting back, we press through and press on. That's what happened in the Welsh revival. We didn't press through. Similar time, the South Koreans had a revival and they pressed in, kept praying, up in the morning praying, and all these denominations have early morning prayer meeting. And if you won't turn up with ones and twos there, you get thousands at 5 o'clock in the morning praying before they go to work. And so they press through. They realise that, you know, we can easily, you know, the churches are full, revival. Another generation, one generation who has been filled with the Lord, the next generation is living off their experience instead of living in their own experience. And that's a real problem. And that's like every denomination. Second generation, then you get the third generation, and that's where the problem is. So there's the devil. That's what he's corrupted, counterfeit, changing. And Jesus tells exactly the same. But John 10.
Therefore Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep.
There he is. There's his other name. He's a thief. He does not. He offers people everything, doesn't he? You can have it all, doesn't he? Said the same to Jesus. You can have it all. But the consequences of having it all. He comes to steal, to rob, to kill, to ruin. That means to take someone's life as a sacrifice. You see, our life is a sacrifice to the Lord, for the Lord. He wants to use it for himself. And ultimately destroy, to ruin, to absolutely remove, to annihilate our potential. That's what he wants to do, to rob us of that which God has given us, God wants for us, to kill us, and to just do a real job on us. And sadly, again, we've been around long enough to see people have fallen for his lies. People who said they were the Lord, people who come into the sound of the gospel but didn't believe, didn't, and have drifted off. And their lives are in ruin now. And the potential they had, that's the devil's job. He's the one who steals. He takes from us. He takes. And of course, the Bible says he's a liar. That's his job. Deceiver, liar, father of lies. Even half-truths, remember, he knows God's word. He knows the word, and he'll even use that against us. Why? We know that because we just read Jesus. He used the word against Jesus, didn't he? He quoted it, twisted it, of course, and he does that for us, and to us. And here we are. We're in the last days where he is really throwing everything out. And the Bible tells us that in the last days it will, you know, you'll have cults from everywhere, deception from everywhere. And he's in his last stand. And here's where we are in 2 Thessalonians 2.
Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know that what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time.
For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way, adventure that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them shall that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, that have pleasure in unrighteousness.
I mean, very clear there, isn't it? The Antichrist, again, is the type of the enemy. Of course, the enemy is a counterfeit trinity. Antichrist is the Antichrist, anti-son. And again, he's rising himself up to replace God. And again, that's what he wants to do. Again, go back to the beginning. What was his lie? You become your own God. You run your jolly life. Who's telling you what to do? Don't you? And that appeals to us. It appeals to that old nature, because I want to do what I want to do. I don't want anyone telling me what to do. And I certainly don't want to deny myself. I just certainly don't want to go out of my way unless I'm going to benefit from it. And of course, we see and the counterfeit miracles. Counterfeit. Don't ever, you know, that's what the Bible says. Now you check. Test. Because I remember I was talking to me about it was the Mormons and they were talking about speaking in tongues, and they were saying, we speak in tongues as well. Counterfeit. The devil's a good counterfeiter. Yeah. Moses went in, didn't he, into Pharaoh, and those chaps counterfeited until to the third, but with the snakes and the blood. And until they said, we can't do, hey, this is the finger of God, when they couldn't counterfeit. So there's a counterfeiting, and the devil will do that. He's a counterfeiter, so we are lured away. And of course, ultimately, it's for deception. And the word then, delusion, means he sends a delusion, something that takes us like a planet, wanders away. We wander away because of his lies, his deceit, and we will not receive the truth. They said they didn't, they receive it because they didn't love the truth. Now, we don't mind truth if it's on my side, do I? If the truth says, Dave, the Lord loves you, ooh, lovely, lovely, lovely. But Dave, you're a jolly sinner. In fact, you've still got sin in life, you've got to square it up. Mm-hmm. See, love of the truth would say, Lord, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. I love it. And now I'll bring it into line, See, if they don't love the truth, you will always be open to the enemy's delusion and deception. Eve, again, didn't fully grasp, did she? She, as we said, she overestimated, don't touch. God never said don't touch. And then she said, we will die. No, the Bible said you will surely die. And so when it came to knowing the full consequences and the weight of God's word, she didn't know it fully, truly. She didn't love it, because she would have said, whoa, wait a minute now. The Lord said, if you eat that, you will surely die. So he's a deceiver, he's a deluder, he's a liar. That's his nature. Now we're in enemy territory, because the Bible says, we'll read in a moment, the whole world, not the world as in natural, physical, but the spiritual world, or the thinking of the world, if you like, the word that isn't like, was the atmosphere of the world, the motivation of the world, the very worldly thinking is under the devil's reign and influence. And so let's read about that, because that's very interesting. Because if you say, well, that's where we could be very careful, where we get our advice from, what we listen to, what we watch, because remember, if it's under his reign, it's going to be trickling, filtering with his thinking. Sometimes it's brazen, as it is more and more these days. Sometimes it's just little bits, isn't it? Little bit. And again, we've been around a long time. It was just the first, oh my God, wasn't it? Oh, Jesus. I can remember 40 years ago, probably now, hearing the F word for the first time on TV. And I remember my brother was with me. I said, did I just hear that right? He said, I'm not sure. Because we couldn't believe it. We could not believe we'd heard it on the TV. And now, well, you will have a job to find anything without certainly blasphemy. And they drop F-bombs in now, 12 movies. So we see how the enemy, just again, his thinking is over. And we've got to be very careful. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 to 6.
Therefore, since you're Christ's, through God's mercy, we have this ministry. We do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to each other's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the mind of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants of Jesus' sake. The God who said, let the light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ.
Again, the God of this age has blinded. That's his job, and he means to burn smoke, doesn't it? He means our vision isn't clear. And of course, irritation as well, I suppose, if you like, it makes us cry. But ultimately, it's to obscure the gospel, obscure that which is we know is real and true. And the antidote, of course, is preach Jesus. He said, we're preaching Jesus, and we're not preaching ourselves. And again, as we allow, sadly, we get influenced by the world and we build people up, don't we? Even in the church, we build people up and ministries up. And we've got to be very careful there, because that's the devil. He said that's why he said, don't appoint someone who's youngly saved into any ministries, because they'll fall for the ploy of the enemy, he said, because there's this pride, isn't it? Pride will rise up. And it's there for us all. We understand that. But he said, the God of this age, the God of this age. Now, that's God, little g, but he's, you know, the ruler of this age where we are, that's his job, is to blind people's eyes. Our response, of course, as we just said, is to preach the mighty gospel. Again, let's have a look at that again to see where we are. Outside of Christ, remember, we are children of the devil and we're under the power of the enemy. And we forget that. That's why there's a battle. That's why prayer is so important. We're in intercession, because we are battling, because they're under the power of the enemy. Acts 26, Paul is saying, I've come to preach to open the blind eyes, to take them out of the power of darkness, out of the power of the devil, under the power of God. So he's saying they're under the power of that. So Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. Ephesians 2, 1 to 10.
As for you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and are the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgression.
transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms of Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Again, there's where we are, and it's very clear. Dead, sins, where he once lived, and under the ruler of the kingdom of the air. That's the enemy. He's ruling the kingdom of the air. His thoughts, his thinking, his worldview is filtering down. That's he's pumping it through. He's pumping it through the media, pumps it through all these kind of things. So it distorts and twists. And again, we are to be salt and light, of course, and to fight back, but be very careful again. Sometimes we think, you know, we need God's ideas, don't we? God's thinking, God's ways, not just to think, oh, that's a good idea. Many people have gone down good ideas and ended up in a real mess. Because remember, the enemy has been at this longer than we have. And if he can see an opportunity to trip us up and to make our testimony bad, and we look, if he's done it right through history, David was not where he should have been fighting. When the kings spring down, when kings were out to war, David was lazing about, getting up in the afternoon, you lazy lump, David. Should have been fighting, should have been doing the work of the Lord, should have been serving the Lord. If he veered off, you know, and if he could have justified, he would have justified, I fought so many battles, I won so many wars, I'm going to take it easy a minute. What a disaster. And he got up and he saw the woman. Now, again, see the woman, that wasn't the sin, was it? What he did then? What did he do? What did he do after he'd allowed the enemy to whisper in? What was that woman? He could have stopped there and said, right, let's stop. But he pursued, and he allowed the flesh. And once the flesh gets running, I tell you what does the Bible say? It's like fishing, isn't it? It gets into you, grabs all of you, and you've got a job to let it go. And it's like gives birth into you, like pregnancy. And the further you go down the pregnancy, the more difficult to sort that out. The God of this age, prince of the power of the air, and of course, out of that, listen to what we do. We're disobedient, we gratify ourselves, we do our own thing, we follow our desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by objects of nature. That's what we were, that's what we are outside the kingdom. And that's, we must never forget that, because sometimes we can look at the world and we can look at people and say, oh, look at the state on their life. Remember, outside the grace of God, we would be there. We would be just as bad as them, wouldn't we? In a real mess sometimes. So the Bible says, because of God's great mercy, God's great grace, we're saved. And now we are not just saved, we are secure. He said we are seated in heavenly realms. And we are God's workmanship. We are working for him with things he has prepared in advance for us to do. That's why we need to keep walking close with him, so we can say, Lord, yeah, what do you want me to go out? Do you want me to do that? No. Do you want me to go there? Yes or no? And so the enemy is over this world system. And that's what we've got to remember. Sometimes people's thinking about bringing kingdom in. Well, Jesus will do that. We have got it. We are here to live for him, to love him, to be salt and light. But the Bible is very clear what's happening to this world. It's very clear where it's going. While we are here, as he said, we preach Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah. We tell people, we point and said, he's the one who can redeem us. Hallelujah. Let's see again. The work of the enemy is deception. And how clever. There's 2 Corinthians 11. We've got 1 to 4 and then 13 to 15.
Would to God that you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I espouse you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin unto Christ. But I fear lest by any means the serpent, beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom ye have not preached, or if ye have received another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is also transformed as an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
There he is. He is, again, Corinth church, again, watching the deception, false prophets, false apostles come and say, we have a word, we've got a word. And he said, look, he said, the gospel, Jesus, if it's different from what I preached to you first, different Jesus, different gospel, don't listen. If I come and preach a different one, he said, don't even listen to me. Mm-hmm. He said, there's only one. And he said, this is the craftiness, the deceitfulness, mm-hmm. the seducing work of the enemy. This is what he wants to do, to stop or to drift you and take you away from your simple, your sincere devotion to the Lord. And again, he's in for the long haul. If he can just see, and that's why it's always good to look at our lives regularly. We love him more, we spending more time with him, or is that withering, is that shriveling? That's what the word means, to corrupt, there, to defile, and to draw back. He wants our devotion, our commitment, our love, our service, and he doesn't mind if, you know, and of course, isn't it amazing? And again, we've seen it so many times, things cropping, and we allow things to come into our lives, not bad things, but the things that will take us from the Lord. Things that will take us from fellowship. Might be doing other things on that particular day. Wait a minute now. Now, be careful, because we should be witnessing and be in places where we can witness, but not at the expense of your protection, of your growth and your walk with the Lord. Okay? Your walk with the Lord, your fellowship, that's the first and foremost. Out of that, because you know him, you're living, you're strong, you can go and witness. You can go to a particular hobby, if you like, or go to the gym. Well, not the gym anymore. And be a witness and a testimony, isn't it? But not at the expense, because the devil don't mind, because he'll put it in our mind. Dave, I think you could join our club there. And you know, you could be a good witness there. Now, be careful. That may be true, because God wants us to be a witness. He wants us to be salt and light. But what if that was the devil whispering, or and it takes me and I get so caught up in that, that the Lord's, I'm not walking with the Lord, fellowship. See, that's why we are always alert at what the enemy is doing. So much so that even people can say, Dave, that's a good idea. What does he say? Masquerading as an angel of light. Let me give you a bit of Shakespeare. How about that? Even Shakespeare could see this. The devil hath power to assume a pleasing shape. Which, you know, which play that's from? I didn't write it down. It could be Hamlet, eh? The devil hath power to assume a pleasing shape. Of course he does. Because he's an angel of light. Where he was from, he was Lucifer, the day star. The angel of light, of course, he's corrupted and sin, but he can bring a light, not the light. And we've got to be careful, because he masquerades, he transforms, and that's why, again, the Bible says, no, weigh things up, test things, prove things. And that's what he takes, because not everyone who says they are the Lord's are the Lord's, of course, are they? Because he just wants us to drift away. From him. And again, we end up, it's amazing how when we drift, we can, a few years down the road, we think, well, what's happened there now? And the older I get, I was thinking the other day, God, that was 20 odd years ago. It just seemed like the other day, isn't it? And it's frightening how time and our devotion, the simple devotion, that's what he's after. He's after a drift. Well, let's do a couple more names to finish off. 1 Peter 5.
Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, After that, ye have suffered a while. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Again, we looked at humility the other day, didn't we? Humble yourself. See yourself as God sees you. That's what we need to do. Keep ourselves realizing without God we are lost. Humble yourself, otherwise pride rises up and the devil, that's great fertile ground for the devil. Loves that. Thinking you are somebody or we are somebody, and he loves to feed into that. Also, carrying our cares, carrying our anxieties when God says, give them to me. Cast your cares on me. If you carry them, that's another, again, fertile ground for the enemy to weigh us down, to bear us down, to stop us, and to choke the word. Chokes the word. Be self-controlled. Be sober-minded, alert. Keep your mind clear. The enemy prowls around. He's looking. And he's a roaring lion. He makes a lot of noise. And make sure, now, he will devour you. That word means to drink down, to swallow, to actually gulp down in one go. We don't overestimate, but we certainly don't underestimate him. We remember who he is. That's why he said, now stand firm, resist him, knowing that, of course, again, context, they were going through difficulties and sufferings. And of course, when we're under suffering, the devil can whisper in his ear. I mean, remember telling that story about that young man who, when he had an accident, he was bedridden for the rest of his life, and he loved the Lord. But how many times the enemy came to him and said, how can the Lord love you? Look, you're jolly bedridden. And he would say, again, the same thing, and he'd been prayed for. He was praying for himself, Lord, raise me up. But his answer was always the same. He said, I go to the cross, mm-hmm. and see how much Jesus loves me. Yeah. When the devil comes and says, this, and that, and the other, mm-hmm. he said, I go to the cross, and that, he said, he loves me. I don't understand these situations. I will in heaven, but I don't now. But I know he loves me. I know I can trust him. So humility, pride, the feeding ground of the enemy's work. Ephesians 6, 10 to 18.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints.
Again, we are in a battle. Our battle, you said, there's a battle going on. Heavenly realms, there's different spheres and all that. That's a different question. Ultimately, we're in a battle. And the Bible has given us the ability, the power, but we've got to stand and we've got to stay in him. He said the schemes of the enemy. Now, the word schemes prior to that was concept, thought, purposes. It's his methods, his procedure. And the thought behind it is there's a systematic way he works. And that's why we're not ignorant of what he does. We know how he comes at us. And again, it's amazing how you can see things rising up, and you can see, for some of us who've been married a long time, you can see an argument coming from a long way, can't you? You can see an argument coming from a long way, and you still go ahead and do it, because I'm right, I'm going to make sure she knows my point of view. You can see it come in, and you can see that instead of drawing back, biting your tongue, or saying something gentle, saying something nice, which again goes against the grain for some of us. we go down there. But you see, the enemy systematically works. He knows what he's doing, and that's his methods. We're not unaware, but we are fighting against them. We are battling. And again, there's the armour there, and those flaming missiles that he throws flaming, they will catch us on fire. They'll burn us. They'll sear us. They'll scar us if we don't rise with faith. See, look, the devil can whisper that, and he can shout it, but use my faith in Christ, in his word, what he says. So, yes, he is. His schemes, his methods, flaming missiles, flaming arrows, and we've let some of those land on us sometimes. Sadly, we didn't need to, but we have. But our battle is indeed. Victory is ours if we are in him. Listen to these lovely verses. Revelation 12, 9 to 12.
The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God, day and night has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their life so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short.
And so we have numerous names there. John is saying the great dragon. Well, means a large serpent, of course. Again, serpent of old, that ancient serpent. He's been there from the beginning. He knows his, he knows what he's about. The devil, that means the accuser, the slanderer. And he's got plenty of evidence upon us, hasn't he? Yeah, he's got plenty of evidence on it. He could say, he might whisper in our ears, and it might be all true. But again, remember, that's what we can just finish off. Under the blood, isn't it? Satan means our adversary, the deceiver. Yeah, that's his nature, and of course in the last days that deception will rise through the roof. He's the accuser of the brethren. That's his job. He accuses and traduces, slanders us. Bless the Lord, but here's the victory. Where's the victory? The blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Blood washes us whiter than snow. He can accuse, but we point straight to the blood. I'm washed, I'm cleansed. Again, confessing the word of their testimony, the word of God, the word having its way in us and right through our lives. And of course, the root of that, again, ultimately, they did not love their life even to death. Surrender to the Lord. Surrender to him. There's our victory. Submit to the Lord. Resist the devil. He's got to flee. Now, if we give him foothold, as we said before, give him a foothold. He'll come back to that. He'll whisper that. And that's why they always be short account with the Lord. Confess. Deal with it. Sin gone. Bless the Lord. And the devil can come and whisper. We can stand against him. But there's our enemy. We're not ignorant of what he does. We can see him coming from a mile off sometimes. Not always. Because he's sneaky. But sometimes we can see it. And we need to stand firm. And that's why sometimes it's good to be in fellowship, because some other people can see it, because we've been there before. Someone's been there before, and say, oh, careful there, Dave. Be careful with that, because the enemy can come in. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. But we are on the victory side.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. To find out more about our church, including our service times, visit www.oakdalechristiancentre.org.